Welcome to People Power and Politics. Hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.
The possibility of banning TikTok, a popular app owned by the Chinese company ByteDance, is currently being debated, with concern about privacy and the app's potential promotion of the Communist Party of China. Despite the app's popularity, there are worries about China's ability to collect user data. While TikTok is a source of entertainment, it is also becoming a source of news for people under 30, with a Pew Research Center study finding that 26% of users between 18 and 29 regularly use it as a news source. This is in contrast to declining numbers of people using Facebook and Twitter for news. A recent news briefing featured Senator Mark Warner, who discussed a potential bill that could ban TikTok in the U.S. However, Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC, and PEN, America's Director of U.S. Free Expression Programs, oppose a blanket ban on the app.
Our first speaker, Senator Mark Warner, Democrat, Virginia, Chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, and co-author of the Restrict Bill.
I strongly believe in the positive power of technology. I also am first to acknowledge that there's a lot of creative things on TikTok. And on top of the creative things, there are a whole now group of people who have make their income off of that. And I think that is a good thing. And while we're going to talk about TikTok, I know some of my critics have said, well, you know, shouldn't you be concerned about not just TikTok, but Facebook and YouTube? But there is a difference with TikTok because of the ultimate control. I believe that TikTok controlled by ByteDance, ByteDance being a Chinese company, China law as of 2017, which requires any Chinese company at the request of the Communist Party, that they can get everything. You know, they, unfortunately in China right now is Chinese tech companies, they're not obligated to their customers or their shareholders. At the end of the day, they have to be obligated to the CCP. Regardless of what TikTok says, Chinese engineers are getting access to this American data. Now, has it been manipulated to date? I'm not saying that. But the idea that you could have this much data of 90 minutes a day of people, disproportionately young people, ultimately residing in Beijing, beyond just kind of the parental concerns you might have about your kids' data residing in a foreign country, the idea that a adversarial entity, the Communist Party of China, could use this to frankly blackmail someone because they know your likes, I think is a very real, tangible threat, and that we shouldn't have to wait till it plays out to take it on. Second point is that this is also an enormously potential propaganda tool. Increasingly, kids are not just looking at their cat videos and dancing videos. A lot of young people go to TikTok for their news. And the notion that the CCP wouldn't be willing to say, well, maybe we need to start floating in some videos that say, you know, Putin is right and Ukraine is part of Russia, or President Xi's aspirations to take back Taiwan, really that should not be anybody else's business but China's business. So the potential on a massive misinformation, disinformation basis is extraordinarily important.
John Yang is the president and executive director of Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC. In 1997, John co-founded the Asian Pacific American Legal Resource Center.
So we actually have a specific program in the technology and telecom space that is focused on platform accountability, that is focused on algorithms, that is focused on data protections and privacy. And then we also, you know, obviously, or perhaps obviously, have a program around racial profiling and racial justice, and ensuring, as Senator Warner talked about, with initiatives such as the China initiative with the DOJ, that got stopped because we saw that as having a very harmful effect on the Chinese and Asian American community without any benefit to our society as a whole. And to my knowledge, and I want to be careful here because I do not have top secret security clearances. To my knowledge, there's no current evidence of that. Certainly, Senator Warner is correct that the surveillance laws in China would allow potentially for that sort of access. And that is potentially a threat. But we should put that in context because we here in the United States, we have certain laws that potentially would allow our security agencies to have access to certain telecom information as well. You know, under us, we have FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Securities Act, you have to get a subpoena to get some of this information. So to Senator Warner's credit, from my understanding of his bill, the United States government still has to make that showing that you're talking about, Sunita, to show that there is an actual tie to surveillance efforts by the Chinese government or actual tie to the ownership of ByteDance with Chinese government activities. So that is, you are absolutely right. That is a piece that we need to, if we're talking about national security, focus on.
Kate Ruan, PEN America's Director of U.S. Free Expression Programs.
Expressing our collective opposition to a ban on the app without first considering less drastic alternatives and the implications of such a ban for free expression, even though we fully acknowledge that TikTok may pose risks for privacy and security. We share some of those concerns, but we see a greater threat to free expression from proposals to ban TikTok altogether. The Biden administration has made use of TikTok too. It provided a briefing to 30 TikTok influencers just after the invasion of Ukraine, and it did so because it knew that many people were turning to the app to get their information about Ukraine, and the United States wanted to ensure it would be accurate. To institute a ban on TikTok now would cut off access to the communication platform of choice for people who are using it for news, creative endeavors, and for their businesses in ways that may be difficult or even impossible to replicate on other platforms. And even if the market did provide an alternative, it would still take a lot of time to rebuild the network that people currently have already built on TikTok. In addition to the implications of a ban on domestic free expression, and I think that this came up a little bit in a question to Senator Warner earlier, a legislative ban on TikTok in the US would set an alarming global precedent, lending legitimacy to authoritarian regimes and shutting down and excluding services they disfavor and contradicting many of the positions the US has taken in an international context. When Nigeria banned Twitter for 7 months in June 2021, the US condemned the ban, reiterating its support for the fundamental human right of free expression and access to information as a pillar of democracy in Nigeria. Last year, the US similarly denounced Russia's shuttering of independent media and technology platforms. And when mass protests erupted in Iran after the killing of Mahsa Amini, the US government strongly condemned the actions of the Iranian regime and called on the Iranian authorities to refrain from blocking or filtering of services. If the US were to now approve wholesale banning as a means of redressing its security concerns about digital platforms, other governments will follow suit, insisting that their own security concerns are equally pressing.
People power in politics, hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's people power in politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.